You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Normally, the newspaper, the Richland Chronicle that's put out, is put to bed on Fridays. Today, it's being put to bed on Thursday. Because of that, I started this show late. I really was doing some catch-up on the post-production for the last two shows. So I really didn't have a lot of time to do show prep today. So I'm confessing where I'm at. And I'll probably only do a rather short show, and tomorrow I get back to the regular schedule and do a solid hour show, and I'll be caught up in all the post-production. Although I'm having some technical difficulties loading the audio files, so just bear with me. The last two shows will be posted as soon as I can figure out how to solve that problem. Now, what I wanted to talk about, and it's getting a lot of talk in Washington, D.C. at least, is what is the terrorist attacks in terms of in Paris, France? What impact is that having, if any, on the people running for president? Now, the establishment believes that this should impact Donald Trump. Unfortunately, and that's true, it has impacted, but not in the way they anticipated. In other words, what's happened is poll numbers have actually gotten better. Now, the thinking of the establishment, not my thinking, but their thinking is, and you hear it in the remarks of Jeb Bush, is when you have an event like this, voters will reconsider their choice and go with the more serious candidate. Remember, I guess it was when George Bush was running, the Democrats said he didn't have gravitas. In other words, he wasn't a serious candidate. Well, it seems that George W. Bush won that one. I believe I have the right election, and the establishment, at least the people that write and think like them, have come up with a new word for Donald Trump. What do you think that word is? And I was puzzled by the word. I knew the meaning of it, but I said, I think they're playing some word games here. Donald Trump, in a report from The Hill, and a number of talk show hosts are talking about this, they're calling him a mogul, a business mogul, a real estate mogul. And I wonder, why do they choose that? You know, wealthy, that's what it means, someone that's rich, very rich. But it's not the typical term that you hear. I think they're trying to project or try to get in your mind and confuse people with mogul from Mongol, the Mongols. Well, I'm not going to be using the term mogul at all. And I think Donald Trump has reached a tipping point. Because Donald Trump speaks his mind. That's both an advantage and disadvantage. The disadvantage is occasionally he speaks his mind when most people would say he would be better served not telling people what he's thinking. And what comes to mind is when he tried to associate Ben Carson with child molestation or child molesters or sick puppies is the term Trump used, and I thought that was a mistake because I don't think Ben Carson is really a threat to Donald Trump. I know he's number two, but he's way behind you, Mr. Trump, and I think you know that. And I wasn't the only one that was a little bit taken aback by that, because I was driving into the show, and I think I said this in the last show, and it somewhat surprised me. Donald Trump was on the Savage show, and I was acutely aware that Savage had the same reaction I did, that he really didn't need to go after Carson and shouldn't have, because I think Savage agrees. I agree. I don't think Carson is going to be the nominee. And I think once he gets out of Iowa, he's going to join the rest of the pack. Now, the reason I think Trump should not have gone after him, there's just a lot of people that like Ben Carson. I like Ben Carson. And he's on my list of four candidates that I could vote for. Now, I'm not endorsing anyone yet. And one of the reasons is there has not been one primary yet. And that's in February in Iowa and then New Hampshire. Really, we'll have a much better indication by the end of March. Now, what should you be looking for? And they're starting the run, and they're starting to be boring already, and that is commercials on radio and television. People, the first thing about a good political ad, as well as a good marketing ad for any product, is you got to get people's attention. You want people to listen to it. Ideally, you would like them to listen to it more than once and actually want to replay it. And I've heard several, and they made such an impression, I couldn't even tell you who the candidates were. But I have heard a couple. And I thought it was rather early, especially if you don't have that much money. You see, what I think the candidates are trying to do is pick a state, one or two states, and win that state. The strategy is one of the early primaries in February. Try to win it. So put all your efforts into one campaign, whether it's Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. I always confuse South Carolina and North Carolina. I believe it's South Carolina. I could be wrong there. And the more I think about it, I think it's North Carolina. But cherry pick, in other words. Pick a few of the earlier primaries. Put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, run a lot of ads, as well as be in that state as much as you can. That's more of the rifle approach. And what you're betting on is if you could win one or two of those in a row, you'll get more campaign contributions and then can focus on March, was when a lot of delegates are going to be picked, because the very first, there's I think 13 that first week, and Texas is one of the biggies on March 1st. So you got to remember that while the polls are very important, they're not the be-all, end-all, and some of the people running understand that. The name of the game is to win the majority of the delegates to get the nomination. That's how you become, that's the first step to become president. You got to get the majority of the delegates. And that means you have to win, not in terms of the polls, but in terms of the voters pulling the lever or marking the ballot for you. Now, what the Republican establishment is really counting on is that when they see a serious subject, such as a terrorist attack, that they will go through the process of saying that who would they like to be president, and make the calculation that Donald Trump is not the serious person. That's the approach. They're attacking whether or not Donald Trump is serious. Well, that's what they've been doing since he started this. Well, he's not a serious candidate. Now they slightly have changed that. He's not a serious person. Well, for a person that's not serious, he's the front runner, and he's drawing huge crowds. Now, I want you to think about that. Why are people coming out? I don't go to political rallies. I don't care who it is. I like to read. I like to talk. I like to think. But I don't like large crowds, because I've heard Donald Trump's speech several times. I know what he's going to say. Now, yes, maybe it would benefit me to at least see one of the rallies to immerse myself and see who are these supporters of Donald Trump. Well, let me explain who the supporters of Donald Trump are, because I think I know. They're Trump Democrats, they're Trump Republicans, they're Trump Independents, and they're just people that like Donald Trump. In other words, he has a broad appeal. Now, some conservatives like to be critical of that by saying he's a populist. And that's, in their mind, that's, ooh, that's bad. Now, I'm a conservative. I know what they're trying to say, but there's a problem with it. The big problem that the Republican Party has, and especially the leadership and their advisors, what they don't understand is, for example, take my case. I'm for limited government. I'm a classical liberal. And I've had to vote really had no choice from the very first time through 2006. I voted Republican. And then I stopped. Why did I stop? I was tired of being lied to and misled. And I have certain key issues, and I speak on the issues periodically. I did on yesterday's show, but it wasn't the focus of the show, was what the Republicans and Democrats have become are big party government parties. And what that means is they're not concerned at all about running massive deficits because they want the government to grow bigger and bigger. That's the way they get reelected. It's certainly the way the Democratic Party gets reelected, but the same is true of the Republican Party. In other words, you're never going to see a balanced budget or a limited government coming from the Republican Party. It's all talk. So many people, and I'm talking millions of people, have left both parties, especially the Republican Party. Now, a lot of the Republicans left earlier. That's why, if you look at Gallup, the Republican, in terms of voter registration, about 25% of voters are identified as Republican, not leaning Republican, Republican voters. Now, not too long ago, the Democrats had 35%. That's really down to about 30%, and I think it's falling. In other words, the Democrats now are seeing what happened to the Republican Party in 2006, 2008, and I think that will continue, probably for at least two or three election cycles. So what does that mean? Well, when they're both down to 25%, that means independents are at 50%. Because there are really only three choices. Either you're Republican, Democrat, or in terms of the Gallup poll, you're an independent. You're neither. The problem independents have today is they don't have a third party to back. Because it takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of organizing to put together a third party and then challenge the predominant two parties. Remember, we've had this system for over 160 years, roughly, where your choices were two. Now, that doesn't mean there have not been third parties, but most of the third parties get less than 1% if they get that. So there's a lot of third parties. What I'm talking about is a viable third party that goes after people that have abandoned both the Democratic and the Republican Party. And there is an opportunity there. The problem is that that's going to take a lot of money, and really more money than Donald Trump has, because, or a better way to say it, Donald Trump's willing to spend. Because you're going to have, I would say, at least a dozen or more very, very rich people in the same league as Donald Trump finally getting totally tired of both the Democrat and the Republican Party and back an effort to form a third party. And remember, Donald Trump considered but ruled out going as third party. Now, the Republican establishment has been waiting for Donald Trump poll numbers to plummet. Any day now, it's going to happen. And they thought that the Paris attacks, that's when the poll numbers will suddenly, people will change their mind. Now, Donald Trump understands communications. It has to be short, sweet, to the point, and unambiguous. I always say your message has to be concise, convincing. You have to be committed to it. Has to communicate. In other words, it has to reach the person. In other words, if you're boring, they're not going to listen to it. They're going to turn you off rather quickly. Donald Trump doesn't have a problem communicating. Now, what did he say about, I call it the Islamic State. I don't use ISIS or ISIL or whatever. It's the Islamic State, the bad guys. What he said, I can't use the entire word. I'm going to bomb the S out of them. I think you can fill in the three letters after the S. That got a large round of applause and cheers. That's communication. It's concise, to the point, and it's not ambiguous. That's what the people want to hear. They want a leader. They don't want someone to tell them the process. I was just listening to John Kasich on the television, just not really focusing on what he was saying, but the gist of it is he was telling the process he would go through in making a decision. Well, that's interesting. Maybe he should give that speech at the Council of Foreign Relations, but the American people, he bores people with tears. What are you going to do? Donald Trump's made it very clear, I'm going to bomb him. And he used a rather descriptive term. Going to bomb the doo-doo out of them to clean it up a little. I think you get the message. And that's what the American people want. They want the Islamic State destroyed. And the first step is to do exactly that. I've been wondering, when are we going to carpet bomb these guys? I've heard people call up on talk shows wanting to use nuclear weapons. Well, I'm not there yet, but that's what some Americans are thinking. This gravitas, or is he serious? Is he a serious guy? Now, there is a complaint, and you hear it in the questions, a criticism of Trump. He's only an inch thick in terms of foreign policy. Well, I'm not surprised. He's been a businessman, a successful one. Now, unless he likes to read a lot of books like me, and I do, on a whole range of subjects, I'm not expecting Donald Trump to be a former employee or diplomat of the Department of State. We've seen what those clowns have done. Look at John Kerry. They negotiated a deal with Iran that's going to give the leading nation of state-sponsored terrorism billions of dollars. I wouldn't vote for any Democrat that supports that garbage. See, Donald Trump cuts to the chase. Give me the bottom line. And that's what he's going to communicate in his stump speech. And that's what the American people are hungry for. It's more than his message is resonating. Yes, it's resonating, and that's why you see the high poll numbers that you do. I'm not surprised at all that Donald Trump is in the lead. I am rather surprised that the other candidates, at least one or two, have not given him a race. There's some excellent candidates. Like I said, on my list, we have Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul. The one person that comes closest to me in terms of political philosophy is Rand Paul. But he has not really caught on. Remember, communication is key here. You have to have a message and be able to articulate a message and not read a message. I'm not reading any script, folks. I point that out. You can't see it, but other than the article, and I really haven't looked at it that much from the Hill, I don't have a script, and I don't have notes. And usually, before the show, I at least have my notes for the show up. Because I was running late, I don't have it up. And that reminds me, the way you listen to the show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you're going to see my photograph of me in the studio, and right below it, links to the most recent 60 to 80 of the shows. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of that same page, you'll have links to all my past shows. But in between, and this is why I point this out, you'll have information. Usually that is photographs, videos, YouTube videos, articles, whatever's pertinent to whatever I'm commenting upon. Just for example, I'm going to have a link and some of the Hill's article, and it's entitled Trump Rises in Wake of Paris Attack. What's the problem of the establishment and the media here? And why, if they don't watch it, they're going to find out rather late. I would say they will really discover on election day that their next president's going to be Donald Trump. I think they, and I'm talking Republican media now, they truly think that Donald Trump is going to flame out. Well, he hasn't. He has not flamed out, and I don't think he has any intention of either flaming out or landing. Could I be wrong? Yes. But ask yourself a simple question. Given Donald Trump's wealth, success, would Donald Trump waste his time and money running for president if he really didn't want to win? I don't think he would. And I'm very conscious of what Ross Perot did. And I know Donald Trump has been asked that. Are you a spoiler? I don't think Donald Trump is a spoiler. I have not heard anything yet that even comes close to me getting the vibe or indication that Donald Trump is going to pull Ross Perot. Now, one of the things I've noticed is reporters like to press him on a question, and he's been getting this question several times. Have you picked your vice president running mate yet? And Donald Trump, the first time I saw this, Donald Trump said to the reporter, yeah, I've thought about it, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm certainly not going to tell you now, which is the right answer. Because it's way too early. We haven't had the first election, and they're pressing him on who's going to be your VP. Now, what strikes me funny is, if you don't think he's serious and don't think he has a chance, why even bother asking the question? You know, if you really believe it, he's not going to be around. Who cares what his vice president pick is or his cabinet? And I believe he's thought about it. Now, my theory, my hypothesis, in other words, my wild-ass, you-know-what, guess, a wag, is I think it's going to be Ted Cruz. Now, do I know it's Ted Cruz? No. But that's my bet. Now, somebody was asking me in the newsroom, well, what about John Kasich? I said, I don't think so. There's been some, let us say, heated exchange between Kasich and Donald Trump. I don't think there's any love there anymore. And Kasich wants to make the point, well, you got to get Ohio. I think Donald Trump could carry Ohio without John Kasich, very simply. I don't think it's critical at all. Yeah, you want Ohio, and Trump is capable of getting Ohio. It gets back to his appeal and how broad that appeal is. And it's a broad appeal. That's why the conservatives like to prick him with or pin the tail a populist on him. Yeah, I sort of think that fits, and it does. He's popular, and you see it in the polls. But just because you're a populist appealing to many people does not mean you're going to be successful. Many populists have run and gotten absolutely nowhere. Some have run several times and gotten absolutely nowhere. Donald Trump has consistently climbed in the polls. Yeah, you're going to get ups and downs, but the trend line is unmistakable. It's up, up, and up. What I would watch out and listen to very, very carefully, and this is how I will narrow down or get a quick indication who might come in first or second or even third in some of these races, is the advertising. Remember, the reason why these candidates have to raise a lot of money is primarily to get their message out, which means to first hire people to produce the commercials. And these are short, 15 seconds, 30-second spots, if you will, on both radio and television. They're people that don't pay attention to what's happening right now. They're really going to start focusing really about 2 weeks out. Now, if you have the money and want to run your commercials or at least test them, and I think that's what's happening, even though I've heard a couple, I'm sure what they're doing is following up and to see, did anyone even notice? Does anyone even pay attention? See, what you want is a very effective commercial, but one that people remember. And ideally, what the conclusion should be, I like that guy and I'm going to vote for him. I like the guy. I like what he stands for, and I'm going to vote for him. Has to be concise. I'm not kidding. 15 seconds, 30 seconds max. If you really have a terrific one, you might go a minute, but that's rare because it's expensive. And I'm sure Donald Trump, as well as some of the leading candidates that have the money, including Jeb Bush, as well as Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, they have probably, by now, I would hope, have seen at least the first drafts of those commercials. Trump has said that, because he's been asked about it. Yeah, we've hired a couple of firms, and they've really come up with some terrific spots. I forget what he called them, but and that's what you need. Because I can remember in 2008 looking at various commercials. The problem is you can have the most brilliant, outstanding commercial with an excellent message, but it simply doesn't get the voter out to vote for you. So why it's important to be creative, concise, communicated, commitment. It's that last, think of it as a push that motivates people, that makes them finally decide, he's my man or she's my woman. That's who I'm going to vote for. We're roughly 70 days to February 1st, 71 days, and those are the earlier primaries. The big month is March, and that's when, and you've seen it, and we'll see it in Texas, every time you turn on the radio or turn on the television, you're going to see a political commercial of the people that still are in the race and still have the money. Donald Trump has the money, and I'm sure he's buying airtime if he's not already bought it. I think he's probably already bought it. And that's the first step, but then you have to get these commercials produced, ready, for broadcast, focus group tested, and yes, Mr. Trump's going to have to like them. I think at least his commercials are going to be average. However, if he comes out with outstanding ones, watch out. And that's somewhat, I'm not going to say random, it's not sheer luck. But Trump understands he's competing with 14 people now. Jindal got out of the race, which he should have done a month ago. Some of the candidates, especially Rick Santorum, but others that have been through this, Huckabee is another one, understand that polls are important, but polls don't count. Delegates count. In other words, don't give up just because you're low in the polls. But that requires you to really have a good organization to get out the vote and spend a lot of time in Iowa and New Hampshire. Those are rather critical. The first two, and if you could win the first two, you're very much the front runner. And if Donald Trump wins the first two, and I have no idea, because I, like I said, you got to look at the ads. And it could be a brilliant creative ad, but not really work. I'll tell you what doesn't work, a boring ad, telling about your record and the process, and I'm a nice guy and all that. That doesn't work. First, you need to get the people's attention. That's rather obvious. And in a few seconds, deliver a short but to-the-point message. It's not easy to do, but it can and is done all the time. And because Donald Trump has the money, I'm looking for big things in terms of his advertising. And he's a strong critic. Remember, he is in the business of developing real estate and has to deal with this. It's not something that's new to him. It's new to a lot of the candidates. Now, most of them run for other office, so it's not like they never had any experience with commercial political ads, if you will, however you want to call them. Sound bites, clips, they have. But remember, you're running in 50 states, and that's the challenge. You do need to a certain extent tailor the message to your audience. That can be difficult, and that's why money is rather critical. You got to have the money, and that is one of Donald Trump's advantages, as is his ability to communicate his message. And given he has the money, he's going to have the organization. The question is, does he have the right people in the organization, and are they focusing on what they need to? Not only making sure that they have the time, they bought the time in the markets they need at the right times, and usually you're talking a week to 2 weeks at the outside prior to the people going to the polls. And that's where money really counts, because they're not going to run the ads until you pay them. And you're not going to, and that's why it's very, very important you have good commercials. And you always got to keep in mind you have other people. Someone out of nowhere can come up with a terrific commercial that gets people's attention, and they say, you know, I like him. I don't know who him is. It could be Ted Cruz. It could be Rand Paul. It could be Marco Rubio. It could even be Jeb Bush. Miracles are miracles. It gets back to, if you want to run for president, you need what I call mama. Money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. Who has momentum right now? I think there's only one person that truly has momentum right now, and that is Donald Trump. Who has money? Donald Trump. Who has the message that's resonating and drawing huge crowds in every arena, every city he goes to? Donald Trump. He obviously has the ambition or fire in the belly. The unknown is the organization. But given the fact that he's run large businesses, remember, it's the Trump Organization. He knows about building organization. So if you go over that acronym, MAMA, he is by far the strongest I've ever seen on all of them. Some of them lack ambition. Some of them have the money like Jeb Bush, but his message simply is not resonating. If anything, there's some major parts of his message regarding immigration as well as Common Core that the voter base simply doesn't like. The message obviously doesn't resonate with them. See, Donald Trump made the smart move to make immigration the issue, the center issue of his campaign. And this brings me to the key point here. And we've seen a number of stories that I really are going to save for another day. Reports of Syrians in Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, trying to get in the country. In other words, are they terrorists or are they just refugees trying to get in illegally? Who knows? But what the American people have been complaining about is we've been invaded by 30 to 50 million illegal aliens, and the only candidate, the strongest candidate on this issue, although I think he could be a lot more stronger, and maybe he will, is Donald Trump. There are other candidates that are good on immigration, but he has the A-. The other candidates on my list have Bs. Now, I haven't checked recently, so I'll double check tonight. But I'm not expecting any major changes there. You might go from a B minus to a B, but Donald Trump has an A minus. The reason why that's important, and this is where the establishment really is disconnected with the voter base, is both Republicans as well as independents and people in the Democratic Party want this invasion stopped. And after you stop it, they want the invasion rolled back. And Donald Trump has the message. And it's more than I'm going to build a huge, beautiful wall with a door. If you're here illegally, you're going home. And I've heard it. And here's where I think Mr. Trump needs to, in his message as well as in his stump speech, spell this out, as well as in interviews. He's already heard this question probably dozens of times. How in the world are you going to deport 11 to 12 million illegal aliens? Now, if I got that question, I know how I would answer. I'd first say, excuse me, where are you getting this number, 11 to 12 million? What do you mean? It isn't 11 or 12 million? No, sir. No one knows the exact number, but it's somewhere between 30 and 50 million. You must be out of your mind. No. We have data from the the U.S. Border Patrol on apprehensions. And if you bother to go talk to the officers and the management, now the administration won't let you talk to the management. And the agents have to be real careful because they don't want them talking to the press. But I'll tell you what they'll tell you. For every one we apprehend, at least 3 to 5 get away. And actually, it's more than that. It's probably 6 or 7 get away. But the minimum number is 3 to 5. Maybe one goes home after spending months or years here. But 3 out of 4 stay. And when you're talking about 1 million apprehensions a year, that means 3 to 4 million per year have stayed. Now, the numbers go up and down, but here's the point. This has been going on for 15 to 20 years. So just using the lowest number, 3 million a year, that's 45 million. If it's 20 years, it's 60 million. I don't know what the number is, but I'll tell you what it isn't. It isn't this understated Census Bureau number that the media and the candidates keep spouting. See, the first thing you have to do when you have a problem is determine what's the scope of the problem. What's the magnitude of the number of illegal aliens that are here? You see, and Donald Trump has said 30 million, as high as 30 million, but he hasn't really been that specific. I would scare the hell out of the American people by telling the truth as to the size of the illegal alien problem, because the Americans up to now have largely been concerned about that illegal alien invasion of 30 to 50 million because it's impacting the ability of either themselves, their family members, sons, daughters, as well as grandchildren, getting a job, especially young people, teenagers, and people in their 20s. Because when you've had an invasion of 30 to 50 million illegals, there's at least 20 to 30 million that are working here in jobs that used to be performed. Really, they're still performed, and the past were performed by American citizens. So first, we got to get the number at least in the ballpark, the right ballpark, not 10, 11, or 12 million. Now, to answer your question, how are we going to get them to go home? Well, let's accept your number for a minute, Mr. Trump, that it's somewhere between 30 and 50 million. Well, that's even makes it harder. How are you going to get 30 to 50 million people to go home? Well, I'm not going to knock on their doors and arrest them and throw them in a bus and drive them to the Mexican border. I agree, that wouldn't work. You know what I'm going to do? Well, what? I'm going to go after all the employers that have been employing all these illegal aliens because that is a crime. In other words, I am going to enforce immigration law by arresting the owners and the managers and the executives that are screwing the American worker. I'm going to prosecute them. And if they're found guilty, they're going to have to pay a stiff fine. And if they're repeat offenders, they're going home. Now, how does that stop or get the 30 to 50 million to go home? It's very simple. The primary reason they're here, the magnet that's attracting these illegal aliens, and they're still coming, folks. They are still coming. Is the jobs. They're here for the jobs. And if they can't get the jobs because the employers now face stiff fines that can put them out of business, especially small and medium size, what you do is you prosecute all over this country in every major city and town the big offenders. And then what happens? The word goes out and filters back into Mexico, into Central America, South America, the Caribbean, and other points. The American people, the American government is wised up. The jobs are not there anymore. You also require employers to use E-Verify. See, prosecution is key here, and that requires resources. That's one of the big problems. They're not enforcing immigration law in the interior of this country. And most of the other candidates, they never say that. You know what all the Republican candidates say? Well, I'm for securing the border. And that's all they say. They're not for securing the border because I've heard that nonsense for 15, 20 years. And the invasion keeps coming, and the people that got through stay here. And now it's a big, huge problem. So you go after the employers. You also have to turn off the welfare. No food stamps, no Section 8 housing, no welfare, no earned income credits. And no, you can't have your children educated in our schools. If Donald Trump would say that, he would be guaranteed to be our next president. Democrats, Republicans, and independents, it would be a stampede to vote for him. I'm waiting to see if Mr. Trump has the guts to do it. Maybe he's holding back. I don't know. But let's see. Now, the other thing you need to understand, and we haven't seen much of this yet, but as you approach these elections, people start to panic. They get desperate. So what happens? And you're going to see that, and I don't know who's going to do it. Mr. Trump might do it, but other people will do this. You're going to get negative campaign ads. In other words, all these candidates usually have what's called opposition research. That's a nice way to say they're trying to dig up dirt on the other candidates. And guess who is their prime candidate here? It's Donald Trump. Donald Trump understands this. I know he must have it because he's slung some of those dirt. Really, they're things that politicians don't want the public to know about. And Donald Trump has used that. So don't be surprised, especially as we approach the actual date of where you have to go to the polls, you're going to see some negative campaign ads. Usually they're run the last 3 days, sometimes a little earlier than that, at the last minute. And I would not be surprised if Jeb Bush does that, Marco Rubio does that, Ted Cruz, I don't think so, but who knows? You see, I don't think this, if anything, what's happened as a result of these bombings is that the immigration issue that Donald Trump has made the center stage of his campaign, that is directly related to, for example, the refugee situation. You see, not all the people that are coming to this country are looking for a job. You have criminals, especially those associated with the drug cartel, are smuggling in drugs and selling it and distributing across the nation. You see, immigration is first and foremost a jobs issue. Second, it is a crime issue. It is a drug issue. And last and not least, it's a national security issue. Because a small, very small percentage, but still real people, have been and are today trying to get in this country that are terrorists. And they're not just all from the Islamic State. Many of them are Iranians. Many of them for other foreign governments. They're not all Mexicans, folks. There's a phrase, OTM, other than Mexican, and that number has been on the rise. And the people that patrol this have found documents from a number of nations, and they're looking for people trying to sneak in, terrorists, sleepers. When I say sleepers, people that come to this country, get a job, and might be here years, decades, and then suddenly are activated by whatever country has sent him here to do damage to the United States. That's going on as well, not talked about very much. The point I'm trying to make is immigration has those four dimensions: jobs issue, drugs, crime, and national security. So if anything, I am expecting that Trump's poll numbers will go up. where he'll be consistently in the 40% range. Right now, he's in the 30s. He's been bouncing around. Occasionally, he's gotten in the 40s. But the name of the game is momentum, and the one candidate that has momentum is Donald Trump. Does that mean I'm endorsing Donald Trump? No, it's not. But you need to be reality-based. And I always remind people there's not been one election yet. I used to say no one has a delegate yet. Well, that's not quite true. Hillary Clinton has some delegates, but that's another show. My point is this. If you want the nomination, you need to get the majority of the delegates. That means winning elections. Doesn't mean the one that has the highest number in the polls wins, because that has been subject to change. And I was talking to someone, and he said, who do you think at this time in 2008 was the leading candidate? I said, I don't know and don't care. Well, it was Rudy Giuliani. Oh, yeah, he went absolutely nowhere. But Rudy Giuliani, yeah, he has name recognition, mayor of New York, but he didn't have much money. And he wasn't the best of candidates. He's good on his feet. He's a good speaker. Why? He was an attorney. And many of these candidates are attorneys. Rubio, for example. Ted Cruz. And because of that, they do have an ability to express their thoughts. I'm not an attorney, but I was in sales for many, many, many years. So I've given many, many presentations, many speeches. And you got to think about what you're going to say. And you need to focus it. I came in the studio, I said, the one thing I'm going to focus in on today and connect two stories is what happened in Paris and how does that impact the election, and what the conversation is about is Donald Trump. How does this impact Donald Trump? See, the establishment and the consultants, well, they're expecting that this was going to be the event that's going to take down Donald Trump a couple of notches. Well, it did not work. Because Donald Trump is still leading. And I expect him to go in the 40s soon. We'll see. And then I asked the obvious question, who is going to beat him? And that was, I said, because I was getting a lot of pushback. Well, they were saying what I'm telling you. And I thought, yeah, we haven't had an election. But I kept on saying, okay, who is it, guys? You got about 13 names. Tell me, who do you think is going to knock him off? They really can't come up with an answer. I mean, I have four people, and I'll be brutally frank. I'm very disappointed that Rand Paul didn't get traction. But that's Rand Paul's problem. That's not my problem. I like Ted Cruz a lot, but he's not the front runner. And I have reservations about all these candidates, and it centers on immigration, whether it's Rand Paul or Ted Cruz. They have weaknesses in that area regarding legal immigration because the rather, let's say, stealth way they're handling it. Most of the Republican candidates are very strong on illegal immigration. A better way to say that, they all want to secure the border. The question really is, well, that's fine, but what some of these Republicans are doing, and Donald Trump could fall in this category, but I know Ted Cruz does, Rand Paul does, and I suspect Ben Carson does as well. Well, let's do this legally. Let's increase the number of legal immigrants that can come in the country, which is a little above a million. Now, you need to understand, most Americans don't understand that. They're surprised. They think, oh, a couple of hundred thousand. If you just ask them, how many people do you think enter the United States legally, immigrate legally per year? Well, 100,000, 500,000, 600,000. They never say, seldom say a million. What many of the Republicans want to do, as well as Democrats, is increase that million to 2 million. Some even want to increase it to 3 million. Now, if you hear them saying that, alarm bells should go off, and you should do the math. 2 million over 10 years is 20 million. And that's why the Democrats will go either way. They don't care if you come here illegally or legally. They're pushing the legal route just as much as some of the Republicans are and the Republican establishment is. Why? Because you have the donor base, the people that contribute the big bucks. That's what they want. They want the number of legal immigrants to be increased to at least 2 million, if not 3 million a year. And then they say, after 10 years, we'll have 30 million. The reason the donor class wants this, they want cheap labor. It's not hard to understand. That's what it's about. And most politicians today, not all, but most politicians today are bought and paid for. And they're bought and paid for by people that have a lot of money and want something. They're not donating to your campaign because they like you. They might not even like you. Some give to both sides, both Democrats and Republicans. They're giving you money because they want something, and what many of them want is legal immigration to be increased to 2 or 3 million, and as many as possible of the illegal aliens be granted legal status so they can work here. The candidates need the money. Most candidates are not in Donald Trump's situation. So if you're running for president, some of them bite real hard and say, well, I can't support the illegal part of it, but I could support you on the legal. Okay, we don't care, because either way, we want cheap labor. Now, what's in it for the Democrats? The Democrats' grand strategy, and it's working. They don't care if people, how you get here, legally or illegally, because they're betting at least 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 4, will at some point become registered Democratic voters. And when that happens, the game is over. So you only have really a few, very few election cycles to stop this. Because what has President Obama been doing? He's been opening the borders. And we've seen him demagogue about, for example, refugees, and saying, well, it's against American values to have a religious test. As he's talking about refugees. Well, there's one problem with that. That's another one of these Obama lies. Why is it an Obama lie? People that come here as a refugee have to go through a vetting process where they're asked a lot of questions. And one of the leading questions is, why did you leave the country that you're coming from? You know what one of the top answers is? Religious persecution. So what do you think is one of the key questions that they ask you? What religion you are? Obviously, if you're a Christian in a nation, coming from a nation such as Syria, where their religion is Islam, I can see that that person is probably fleeing the country because afraid that someone's going to cut his head off. Conversely, if the person is a Muslim, that gives me pause. Why you consider being persecuted? Well, I'm Shia, and where I'm at, or where I used to be, they're all Sunnis, and the Islamic State came to power, and I ran for the hills. I ran as fast as I could, because if they caught me, they were going to kill me or behead me. They're going to do it either way, shoot me or behead me. Well, that makes sense, but is he telling the truth? So you better believe the United States government for decades has been asking people about what their religion is. It's rather key, especially if you're trying to get into the United States as a legal immigrant with refugee status. So again, we're catching Mr. Obama in this one of his lies. I'm not surprised. But have you heard it on the media? No. You'll hear it on talk radio. You're hearing it on this show. But you got to do your homework. And that's one of the key things. That's why I provide you my notes. Because I can't really cover all the material. And I want you, first of all, to have an open mind. I want you to do your homework. And to help you do your homework, I'm giving you some information. Then make up your mind. And really go beyond it. I'm learning something every day. I have to prepare the show. I have to read a lot, even in a short period of time. But I also have to listen to a lot on radio as well as read books. I was telling someone I've been reading up on, I have an interesting book, A Journey of a Jihadist, and it is a fascinating book because he goes over the various generations of these jihadis. Now, jihad means struggle, and there are many meanings of struggle. What I'm talking about here are the Islamic jihadists, what they call the lesser struggle, which is the militant or military struggle. And what they're trying to do is attack who they see are enemies of their religion. In other words, Christians, Jews. And even if you're Muslim, whether or not your sect of Muslim conforms with theirs. You know, President Obama at least told the truth that the people that are really most hurt by the Islamic State are Muslims. That's true. Now, I would have pointed out in Iraq, where the Iraqi government is controlled by the Shiites, they have militias that have been attacking Sunnis for decades. That's the problem. That's why right now what we have is a religious sectarian civil war going on. Sometimes there's a lot of activity. Sometimes there's less. There's really no good side. Yeah, we've picked sides. In case you haven't figured that out, Barack Obama is on the side of the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's why he signed this agreement and is going to provide tens of billions of dollars, over nearly $150 billion to Iran. And what do you think they're going to do with it? Some of that money is going to go into their terrorist activities, especially supporting Hezbollah that's propping up the Assad regime in Syria. That the rebels, the so-called Free Syrian Army, but Al-Qaeda, as well as the Islamic State that used to be part of Al-Qaeda, are trying to overthrow. You know, there used to be a song, "Whose side are you on?" When it comes to the Middle East, I think my answer is nobody's side. I'm not here. And I think if you ask the American people, that's their answer. There is no good choices here. There are few, but very few. And the one that comes to mind are the Kurds, but that's not perfect either. So whose side are you on in regards to the various sects, Sunni, Shia, in the Middle East? None. So why are we sending military aid or even risking our pilots' lives on this? Yeah, I'm for all for destroying the Islamic State, but who should destroy it? The people there should destroy it, and that's the key thing. And that's where we keep making the mistake over and over again. We pick sides, and we slowly but surely, we do their fighting. Once you cross that line, it's very hard to get back. They're going to have to stand up to the Islamic State. The Sunnis in Iraq and Syria are going to have to stand up. Right now they can't, and they won't. And that means the only way I can see immediately that could happen is you are going to have troops from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Jordan, as well as their military equipment, air forces. They're going to have to destroy the Islamic State. Now, we know what Donald Trump wants to do. He wants to bomb them, and that's probably going to be and should be the extent of our contribution. They have to be destroyed. They could have been destroyed a lot earlier and a lot faster, but they weren't because we don't have a leader in the White House. And that's probably an important point. What are the American people looking for? They're looking for a leader, not a manager, not a bureaucrat, not an attorney, not even a governor, a leader. And who, of all the candidates, demonstrates to many people, not everybody, but for many people, that he has that leadership skill? It's Donald Trump. I went through this exercise. As much as like Ted Cruz is an attorney. He should be in the courtroom, actually in appeals courtroom, making the case. That is what he's very skilled at. That's his strong suit. Trump says that's his wheelhouse. But does that skill set mean he should be president? I don't think so. Same thing with Rand Paul. Remember, these are people on my short list. He was a former, he is a doctor, an eye doctor. And that means he's run a small business. But he spent a lot of time getting educated, first in the sciences when he was an undergraduate, biology, chemistry, a lot of academic work. Then you had to go to medical school, and then you had to go to residency and practice and build up a practice. And you need somewhat of a bedside manner, and he is a good communicator. But he's not outstanding in that regard, although he knows how to use his elbows. That's one of the reasons I don't think he's gotten traction. Because what I think the American people right now are desperate for after 7 years of Barack Obama, they want that leader. Now, some people have said they want the man on the white horse. That's one way to describe it. And again, I go through the candidates. Who is that? If you go through that entire list, how many leaders, truly leaders, are there? Now, just because they're governor doesn't make them a leader. I think there's several, but the one that really stands out in my mind is Donald Trump. And again, this is not an endorsement because 70 days, 10 weeks is a long time. And all it takes is Donald, instead of not saying it, says it out loud, and he could sink his own campaign, and he knows it. I think he's been lectured, told about it, understands it. As long as he can control that urge. You see, I'm the same way. I will typically tell you what I think. I'm a little bit more diplomatic, but not much. Many times, just shut your mouth is the best advice. But when you're running for an office, the name of the game is to win. And that means you're going to have to attack your candidate And sometimes that will offend the supporters of that candidate, specifically Ben Carson. Ben Carson is the nice guy, the humble guy, the decent guy. Is he the leader? I think he would be ideal for a number of cabinet posts. But President of the United States, I still have reservations. He has the same problem that Donald Trump has, and that's in the foreign policy area as well as in the economic area. Now, Donald Trump doesn't have that much of a problem there, but both of them, and it's true of most candidates, so it's not necessarily across the board. Most candidates don't deal with foreign affairs. The only people running or person running that has some experience in that regard is Marco Rubio, for the simple reason he served on the Foreign Relations Committee. But so what? I always tell people, you'll learn at any job, you'll learn more in the first 30 days than you knew prior. Book learning is great, experience is great, but what counts the most is experience on the job. No candidate is really qualified to be president and has that experience that's necessary. And we're finding that out right now in the disaster of President Barack Obama, both domestically, having a stagnating economy, and a total, complete disaster in terms of the Middle East and North Africa. And that can also be linked directly to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And you better believe that, assuming Donald Trump gets the nomination, he will be attacking Hillary Clinton over her terrible performance as Secretary of State. Because the instability that we're seeing throughout Northern Africa and the Middle East, the chaos, is to a large extent traceable to Hillary Clinton, as well as the fact that we have the Islamic State today that was really defeated in 2007. And now, 7 years later, in 2014, it suddenly was back in winning because of a failed foreign policy and the fact that Barack Obama totally withdrew, with the exception of very few troops, from Iraq. Almost all of his advisors, the military, were telling, don't do it. You're going to have to leave tens of thousands of troops there for 10 years or more to keep the Sunnis and the Shia apart, as well as the Kurds. He knew better. No, he didn't know better. He just made the biggest mistake of his presidency. And now that mistake is biting him in the form of the Islamic State that are launching terrorist strikes in the form of shootings and bombings throughout Europe and the Middle East. And I think it's only a matter of time before it will be in the United States, probably in Washington or New York. Those are the tough targets. But why do you think the Islamic State is going to take the tough targets? That's where I think they want to make the biggest bang, if you will. There are dozens of other cities that they can attack, and they can do it in several cities. It's obvious that Washington, D.C. and New York City are the two cities that they prefer to attack. But if it's impossible or very difficult to do that, they'll go to other cities. But remember this, and don't forget it, it's very, very difficult to stop a suicide bomber or shooter. They're prepared to die. They want to see their God. They're in a hurry. It's hard to stop a suicide bomber or a suicide shooter that knows that after he's done what he plans to do, he most likely will be dead. And actually considers it a failure if he isn't. We're dealing with religious fanatics that have been successful at it. And they've been practicing this for over 50 years, actually longer. And they keep getting volunteers. There's an endless supply of new people because they consider the United States evil, the great Satan. The little Satan is Israel, but the big Satan is the United States. They want to attack us. And we've been very fortunate so far that they have not been successful. But I think they're already here, and they're trying to get more in every day. I'm not trying to terrorize you. I'm trying to tell you the truth and the reality, and then you have to decide how to deal with it. Just got the signal that I got to wrap it up. Thank you for listening, and now America the Beautiful. Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.